Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080. Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Rashawn Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass. We're the water boys today. We're the H2O boys.
Well, yeah, you got my finally smart came to the water. Team. Finally came to the team over here.
You got your life water.
Mr. Man, energy drink every morning.
Well, I have had my energy drink.
It's like 8 o'clock. Like, seriously, like... You have energy drinks. It's like 8:15 by the time you buy it.
I need my caffeine. I need my sugar.
Oh, you don't.
I need that rush.
Early Sunday morning. You need whatever the hell you can get your hands on.
And this guy has something tall and chocolatey usually, you know, so yeah.
He calls it the Rashawn Taylor drink. Tall and chocolatey.
I get it. I get it.
I do like tall and chocolatey.
They know
things.
Exactly what you mean at Dutch Bros, too.
They do.
Give me the Rashawn Taylor special. Excuse me, sir.
Oh, do you want extra chocolate on that? I got you.
Can you give me 8 pumps of chocolate syrup into that, please?
The strong ones.
That does kill me when people go to their Dutch Brothers or the Starbucks. Yeah, give me the extra dark chocolate, please. Can I get this Frappuccino or whatever? And can you give me 13 pumps of caramel syrup and then another 10 pumps of chocolate syrup? And can you also put in milk and...
give me a cookie
whipped cream,
crumble, you know, on top of that.
It's it like does not fail
coffee
to be
anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It fails to become actual coffee. Mine is just a little bit of like chocolate, milk, and coffee. I taste the coffee in it, and I add an extra shot to taste even more coffee. Sweetness is good, but give me that pick me up. But yeah, dark chocolate, tall, yummy. Like, I don't know.
I get it.
It's just kind of synonymous with like. Drinking this every day. So.
Yeah, are you a coffee guy, Joe?
No, I don't really like the taste of coffee. Like coffee, toffee, like even like dark beers, like stouts
toffee.
And porters and stuff like that. Anything like that
coffee note under? Yeah, I understand. I'm not a big coffee guy either. I used to like. So my grandfather would get up early in the morning and go to work and
love
drink
the smell
his Folgers.
Of it.
Yeah.
When I worked at Safeway, I'd walk down the coffee aisle just all the time. That would be the one to go to.
I think it smells. Great. I just, you know, I just don't like the way it tastes. And then those monsters that order just like black coffee, those savages.
Yeah.
The coffee, just black.
Just
wow.
Upon awakening up is Folgers in your cup.
Actually, hey, Rockapella killed those commercials. You know, those are the same guys that did the Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Yes.
Rockapella?
Rockapella.
Rockapella.
Is that like a jingle group? Is that just all
that
they did?
That is one of the greatest a cappella groups of all time, hence the name
kind of like Pentatonix or something like that.
Exactly.
Pentatonix probably got a lot of what they got from Rockapella.
Oh, 100%. This is Acapella back in the 90s, 2000s. I mean, Pentatonix is like the group. There were a few more
back
then.
Take Six was probably
Take
the
six.
Group, you know,
oh,
to do
you're going
Acapella
deep.
Stuff. Hey, man, listen, I'm a choir guy. I'm a harmony dude. So, yeah, I know all of the classic, you know, none of them come close to Boys to Men. However, you know, as far as like,
however,
yeah, but Rockapella, you know, was awesome. Like, if you like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, that theme song, then Joe, you're looking like you're not quite sure if you know that theme song.
I'm trying to recall the theme song. I remember watching the show as a kid, but yeah. I just can't. The theme song, the jingle is not coming to me.
Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Listen to those pipes.
Yeah, I remember. Okay, this is it's coming back to me now. Have you been singing some of that Cowboy Carter this weekend, though?
I have not. I have been singing.
Have you heard her new song, Jolene?
Is it about Joe being on lean?
No, this sounds like that'd be a cool song. But
I assume
no.
It's
literally it's the cover of the Dolly.
Yeah, I was gonna say yeah. It sounds like a Dolly song. So yeah.
And then she also what else did she cover? Blackbird. She covered on there too.
People
and I was
are
just
upset.
Like,
people are upset. Why? You know, you listen. There's one group that you don't run afoul of in music, and that's the country music fan. Like and.
Oh, I was telling my girlfriend, I was like, this is, I just don't think this is necessary.
I'm not mad at it. You know, I'm really.
I don't think it was needed. Who asked for a country
listen,
Beyonce?
If Beyonce wants to do country, then damn it, you'd let Beyonce cook and do country. Like, that's just kind of what it is. Wow. It's not like she's an outsider in the, you know.
I did tell her, I was like, well, it's a good thing she actually can sing.
Yeah,
because,
we're not talking,
you know,
Megan Thee Stallion here. Or we're not talking, no, seriously, we're not talking Nicki Minaj.
The Megan Thee Stallion has talent, though. Sorry, I dude.
Don't take my horse to the old town road.
Beyonce is a black woman from Houston, Texas, where country is.
This ain't Texas. King,
you know what I mean?
Maybe, maybe if we allow each other to like actually do what we're supposed to do here in America, which is a big old melting pot and you know, experience each other's cultures, make music with each other's cultures.
Hey,
and
man, we accept Jack Harlow. Come kick
interests.
It, Jack. We accept Eminem. Hey, man.
We don't have to put Beyonce in a box.
Like, let Beyonce be a part of country music. Like, I heard a rumor.
No.
Like, I heard a rumor, and I don't know how true it is. I don't know how true it is, but there was a station somewhere around, I don't remember, but a country station that wouldn't play Old Town Road.
I think it was our sister station, 99.5 The Wolf.
Was it?
Yeah, I believe so. They weren't going to sell out like that.
Hey,
come
man,
on.
Somebody needs to get... I'm not saying that somebody should have...
Listen, I'm going to be a company man here. That is Portland's country music station, all right?
I mean... That's the thing about music.
Get with it or get lost, buddy.
The number one country song in the country on the charts more than Mariah Carey's "One Sweet Day." Like that was like a million weeks. You play the song.
Hey, you want a segue for your ass?
Let's hear it.
Speaking of sweet days, Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, man.
Happy Easter, indeed.
Happy Easter.
Pretty garbage candy day, though. I will say.
Oh, arguably the worst candy ever made.
Yeah, like we're talking.
Just peeps alone is enough to be like, okay, we're done.
But even like, you know, jelly beans are solid. Meh.
Depending on which ones you get.
Yeah, a lot of them are crap.
But I mean, the ones that are good, like when you like, thank God for Starburst jelly beans. Those are awesome.
Jelly bellies,
like. Seriously, you get the right. Well, you get the right flavors.
Serious, Joe?
Well, again, you have to get the right flavor.
Yeah,
like, you give me that butter popcorn crap.
That's my mom's favorite
like
flavor.
I don't know why I like that one. No? It's pretty good.
Trash jelly.
What's your favorite
kettle
jelly
corn.
Belly?
I feel like jelly bellies. It kind of just like whatever your favorite just flavor of candy is. That's your favorite flavor of jelly bean. Like,
I've had
if you like a grape. Then you can get a grape jelly bean.
I've
if
had
you like
chocolate
green
jelly
apple,
bellies, and they're crap.
They're
not very good.
No,
the coffee ones aren't, or the mocha isn't very good.
Cotton candy jelly bellies. That's where it's at.
What else is a trap? I mean, listen, chocolate.
Cadbury eggs.
I was going to say, that is at the top of the power rankings of trash candies on
before
this holiday.
Before Peeps?
Yeah, I would say.
Oh, no. Peeps are rancid.
Yeah, that's a tough one. They're duking it out 12 rounds. Cadbury cream eggs and Peeps for worse candy.
I'm not like a Whopper guy, and it feels like on Easter every single like chocolate covered egg or like the little like
I love
crusty
whatever.
Well, see, but I'm not necessarily a Whopper guy, but what these eggs are like a crappy imitation of a Whopper. So it's not even like the true Whopper flavor. It's the SE imitation, doesn't taste even close to it, and it's all over your Easter egg hunt, and you're picking them up eating them, and it's like,
I got one for you. The hollowed out Easter bunny.
Oh yeah, that thing. That's a lot of chocolate.
But it's not though. It's just like a shell of chocolate, and then there's nothing inside.
It's better than a straight brick of chocolate.
I got some.
I would rather have the straight brick of chocolate.
Just like we did on St. Patrick's Day. I do have some Easter facts. Some Easter by the numbers. You want some of these?
Let's hear it.
You want some numbers? Huh?
Should I play some like God music below you while you lay the Easter numbers on us?
I say we go country today, but not
Old Town Road.
But not Beyonce.
Old Town Road.
I resent that.
Most popular Easter basket items: the chocolate eggs / bunnies, running away with it at 44%. Jelly beans 20%. Candy coated eggs at 18%. This number is way too high. 15% for marshmallow candies, basically Peeps. Should be zero. I mean, let's be real. We're better than this. It's 2024. We can do better.
They're colorful, and they're something to decorate small kids' stuff with.
91 million chocolate bunnies are sold in the U.S. each year for Easter. Do you want to know how many jelly beans are consumed for Easter? Take a number. Jelly beans. Think of how many jelly beans.
In pounds or like?
Just singular jelly beans.
Oh, shoot, man. Billions.
Yeah, I'd say 2 billion.
Give me a number.
4.
16. Jeez. 16 billion. Enough to circle the globe 3 times. 3 in 4 parents plan to discuss eating candy in moderation with their kids. It's more so just going to be like, stop it! Stop eating candy!
It's a bunch of candy that nobody really wants, though.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, how Americans eat chocolate Easter bunnies. What do you think they go for first?
The head.
The ears. Because you got to just go for the part that sticks out, the ear.
78% ears first,
yeah.
16% feet first, and then 6% are just bona fide freaks going for the tail. Just going straight.
I think it's weirder to go for the feet first.
Booty lovers.
Well, we know why people do that, 60%. They've got a thing for feet. Let's see. Some more facts here. 9,360 pounds weight of the largest ever chocolate Easter bunny.
But why?
I mean,
is it to be shared amongst the village? Or
did you know America? We make oversized food just for the hell of it, whether it's going to be consumed or
we
not.
We love
like,
excess.
Dude, it's just like, let's make a giant pancake and have the entire city eat it.
We love it. What's the, there's a restaurant, we talk about pancakes, there's a restaurant, I think it's still around, they had these man cakes, and they were ginormous.
I'll get at those cakes.
Yeah, seriously.
$49,000, price of the world's most expensive chocolate Easter bunny. What?
What kind of chocolate is it made with?
I don't know, but that is preposterous.
Why am I so upset at all these facts? This useless...
548,000 calories.
Oh, this useless crap that we shove into our gullets and spend our money on.
There are cheeseburgers that are made with grilled cheese sandwiches. Like, yes, please. Like, I'll take it. Make it a double. Add bacon.
That
like,
makes more sense than
excess,
a chocolate bunny.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. We do it big here in the States, bro.
How many eggs are purchased for Easter?
Eggs?
To decorate, hard-boiled eggs or something?
I'm thinking jelly beans come in a much bigger package. So, probably... I'm going to say closer to 4 million.
I'm in it. No.
4 billion, excuse me.
Yeah, I'll go like 8 billion. I'll go double that.
180 million eggs.
Okay, way too
way little. Too high, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's my fat ass's love. It's the favorite part of Easter is the hard-boiled eggs because you get to decorate those and then eat them.
And then knock
on
those down.
Yeah, exactly.
What are our feelings on a deviled egg?
Oh, you got to make it right, but I love deviled eggs.
We smashing some deviled eggs.
Who made them?
It can't be like if you make it with Hellman's mayonnaise, absolutely. But if you make it with like Miracle Whip, get the hell out of my
house.
You
do anything with Miracle Whip. Number one, everybody knows if you listen to the show, I am not a mayo guy. You know, I think it's, yeah, I think it's disgusting. I know, me and Joe joke all the time, my undercover brother, about me squirting some
sauce
spritz,
on whatever you
on my mayonnaise, or I'll just completely tell the person, man, you can take this back. But there
are
a few
slightly racist. I think you have something against that white substance.
I have a lot of stuff against a lot of white substances, but like I don't gross. It looks gross. It sounds gross. It's, you know, whatever. Not a big fan.
Got to be careful with those deviled eggs, though. You eat too many of those and then...
Any egg. I think egg in general is that one, like, you have five over easy eggs. You're going to be paying
for it.
Malicious
fecal distribution.
Ew.
Too many eggs, man.
Yeah.
It's happened before.
Hey, well, speaking of white creamy substances, though.
Oh, God.
Last night... Me and the lady friend, we went out for dinner, and I think that her and Sook's lady friend planned this, and we're just like, oh, no, this is, look at this. We just so happen to be at the same restaurant at the same time.
They
look
put
at
you guys in the same shirt or
How
something?
How about that? Yeah, wow. Yeah, that was the next move. But then after that, we went to a bar nearby, and I had my first sip of a white Russian.
Like ever?
Ever. I mean, the idea of just milk and vodka. Combined is like
awful.
It sounds pretty bad,
but awful. The Kahlua brings it together, my friend.
See, I didn't know that Kahlua was a part of it. When you like Google a white Russian, sometimes there's like a lot of Kahlua. It's like almost like looks like coffee in some sense. Like, but wow,
that's Sue's drink of choice, right?
Dude, game changer. It is. I was shocked.
It's a lot to happen to your stomach, man.
At how good that is. I was blown away. And also, I think I have officially found my cocktail, like the cocktail of one Joe Fisher.
Yikes.
Is the paper plane.
You can't do too many in an evening. Because, like, I think even Sook says, like, I'll probably finish up with, like, a couple of those at the end of the night. Because, yeah, that half and half curdles in your tummy.
Have you ever had a paper plane cocktail, though?
No.
No? No, Rashad, paper plane?
No, I'm not a big cocktail guy.
Paper plane, it's bourbon, Aperol, fresh lemon juice, and Amaro. Okay. And I'm telling you put that thing over ice, wow. That's like it's like drinking Pog. It's passion orange guava. Like that drink is dangerous. So that and a white Russian, I mean, lock me in.
That's why you're drinking water today.
No, that was, I mean, last night we had a couple, but that was Friday night. Friday night, that, have you ever had those drinking nights where the next morning you wake up, you're in the shower, you're like, oh boy, how many did I drink? And then you start doing the count.
A couple shots of Jaeger.
Beer.
Oh God.
Cheeseburger. Four bong hits, man.
Yeah.
No, that was Friday night. Had like some soju, which is like a Korean wine, or like almost like it's almost like sake, but it's like I guess a Korean version of it.
Sake, but it's not
sake, but Korean. You know,
sake
is the same but
too.
Different.
Sake is one of those things that you'll go to a you know Japanese restaurant, or sushi restaurant, and you'll be all the way messed up by the time you leave there off a couple. I like warm sake though.
I hear that warm sake it's not even supposed to be warm. If it's warm, that means they're trying to hide some of the impurities with it.
Well, whatever. Yes. That's probably why I get so bent so fast then.
It's
I'll
trash
it.
Sake.
Bring it on out.
It's like moonshine. You'll go blind if you drink too much of the wrong stuff.
And again, they've been making it for
allegedly.
Years.
All right, let's get to it. Want to? There's some Easter facts. There's some booze for you on Easter. Do you think people are getting boozed up on Easter? Doesn't seem like a boozy holiday.
I don't think they're doing a lot of stuff on Easter anymore.
Getting drunk.
That's actually something we should talk about in the second hour. I don't, you know.
Yeah, like I'm not. Do you guys have Easter plans today? Like meeting with your fam? I'm not having dinner with the fam or anything.
For me, this used to be a day where my family got Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving were the days that everybody got together. Everybody collectively was like, I'm not doing anything.
I'm going to be in a nice green grassy pasture, which is also known as a golf course.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll be doing that after the show.
So. Smacking some balls around.
Lots of Sunday games.
Dude. Whacking balls. That's what I do, baby.
Ball lover, you.
All right. Let's get to going here, shall we?
Why not?
Speaking of that dinner on Friday night, me and the lady friend were having a conversation. The timing couldn't have been better on the conversation. And just when you thought it couldn't get worse, Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass. This is Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. So sitting down for dinner Friday night, some nice Korean barbecue, fancy Korean barbecue. And the lady friend and I were talking, and we get on the subject of the Blazers. How that ended up happening, I don't know. But I was talking to her, and we were talking about different reporters and the fans in the city. And I started to get a little worked up in this restaurant. I think I started to get like, oh, my God, is this guy okay? Because I was telling her that this fan base, this city, the ownership, we know the story. It's the only thing in town. We're just happy to be here. There is no accountability to be better than a 6 seed, 5 seed, 4, whatever. And that we are just complacent in what we are as a franchise compared to the rest of the league into sports in general. Is that the strive to be great, the strive to be champions, the strive to be a franchise that is a perennial winner, it's just not there. Again, it's very much a complacent, we're just happy we're a part of the conversation. We're just happy we have one of the big three professional teams in the city of Portland. And I was getting, I was just telling her, like, this is what it is. This is why nothing ever changes. This is why the Blazers are who they are. And that as long as we have a fan base and that doesn't hold the ownership more accountable, instead of just loving our guys, like every single year, it's, oh, God, I love him. He works so hard. Delano Banton, what a game against the Hawks. Yeah, you still lost by 15 points.
Oh, young talent coming through this city anyway.
Man, I don't know. I think Banton, we got a keeper on our hands. Really?
They might be right on Banton, but I feel you.
The whole DeAndre Ayton, man, we should have been giving him the ball earlier in the season. Oh, yeah, so we could have won 20 games instead of 15 at this point? Is that where we're at? So I'm going off to her, and then I sum up my thoughts, because I'm sure that's what she wanted to hear the whole time during dinner, is my feelings on the Portland Trailblazers. And then I look down at my phone and I see a final score of 142-82, the Miami Heat beating the Trailblazers by 60 points. I then show it to her, and even she's shocked. When my girlfriend is like, oh my God, that is, how does that, like, she's at a loss for words even. And this is literally right after I am going off to her about this franchise and this team. Again, I look down my phone, and that's what I see. And it just perfectly encapsulated. I was like, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Like I said, it looked like a blood pressure reading. 142 over 82. It's like, are you serious right
Probably
now?
Was mine at the at that moment in time.
So
you get the sleeve around me and check it out. Yeah,
you know, when we are a town, you said it, Joe. We're a town that we don't have all the bells and whistles. Our bells and whistles, I heard somebody, a comedian, came here and he did a joke. It's like, man, the coolest thing we have a bunch of bridges. Why do we need so many bridges?
Hey, it is. There's a big river that kind of cuts through the city.
Well, I'm saying, but did you need 16 bridges to get across?
Yeah, traffic will suck otherwise, but I get the point.
Yeah, but that's the coolest thing about Portland. If we're, you know, that's one of the most unique things about Portland. And now that they're starting to be breweries pop up all across, you know, the Northwest and stuff like that, even down into California, like, what really is Portland known for? It used to be known for this being this clean, beautiful city that you could raise a family in, you know, all these things. Not so much anymore. And I think we have to concede to the fact, fellas, especially you two baseball fans in here, we're never going to get another professional team.
My optimism was lost on that over the last few months. I mean, again,
well, you held on much longer than a lot of people. Remember when the Diamond Project first started?
Well, and I want to.
That's all anybody talked about, and people were getting the hats with the P and everything like that. It's like, here we go, Portland.
And I don't want to do this. Deviate to that too much, but it's like, it's amazing how, whenever that's brought up, how staunch the residents and people in town are like, no, we don't have the time for that. We don't have the money for that. We have other problems. But yeah, when it comes to the Blazers, we'll support that team during any moment in time, give them their money throughout
because
the year.
We don't. Blazers isn't going to cost us a whole lot extra. Like a new baseball team is going to be, man, they got to put it somewhere. So, you know, those bridges crossing that river are going to be a lot more useful for a lot of people, because there's going to be a bunch of traffic. There's going to be a bunch of everything as they build it. Something's got to be torn down. So they've purchased the PPS building, so now that's out. You know, so I think there are a lot of things, but I think it's for me coming to the realization that this is not going to happen. Like, Portland is not going to get anything. So yes, we hold on to our Blazers incredibly tight. Hopefully they never remember a couple of years ago and they're talking about, oh, the Blazers are going to relocate and they're going to lease. Like, man, we have a lease for like 20 something years, you know, at that point, but still people were concerned that we would lose these Blazers. So we support them at all costs. We support the, you know, Ruben Patterson's and all the guys that are like, they're good players, but not game changing Hall of Fame, win you 50 game type players. Like, Ruben Patterson was a good part of a great team.
Here's an example, like Jabari Walker. If the Blazers got rid of Jabari Walker this offseason, there would be like an outcry from Blazers. Oh my God. I can't believe it, this franchise. What are they doing?
Justice Winslow. Oh man, he should stay. He plays with so much heart. I forget. There's name Philip Joel Prinsbilla. Like, yes, we have to, he's the heart and soul of this team. You have to make sure. No, you don't. Prinsbilla is not giving you much, you know, from there. Like, he's a great locker room guy that people love, and he'll get in some guy's face at a point. That's not going to help you win any games.
Blazers fans fall in love with the Luke Babbitts, the Nasir Littles of the roster. Like, they hope that they're going to.
The doo-wop wreaths.
The Will Bartons that know.
The 28-year-old rookie doo-wop wreath.
And knowing a guy's going to be like a sixth man at best in the NBA, Blazers fans think that that guy's going to be an all-star starter here in Portland. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just like, if he hang on to him, if he just played a little more, it's like, no, he plays in practice, and there's a reason he's sitting on the bench. Now, we're not talking Jermaine O'Neal on the bench for 5 years. That's something
different. Well, that's a Bob Whitsitt problem.
That's a Blazer mistake that we've made over and over again. Hey, let's take Martell Webster instead of Chris Paul. Great idea, right? Let's pass on Devin Booker and pass on a bunch of other guys and just get people in here that are going to be solid NBA players for a long time but never make an all-star team.
You know, Rashad, the Portland Diamond Project, I don't want to deviate too far into that either, but it is a great representation of how, Joe, you make the point that we are so happy to receive any kind of sports positivity in this city that we look more to that than we actually do winning. And yeah, instead of, you know, 4, 5, 6 years down the road from the Portland Diamond Project starting, seeing movement that we hope to see, we kind of just lean back in to what we know, which is getting smacked in the face repeatedly by the Portland Trailblazers. And what did they say? Something like arena attendance is down only like 8-10% this year. Like, the viewership overall is down worse than any team in the NBA. But going to the arena, you can still see seats filled, which to me is crazy, but that's partly,
you know,
because $10 tickets are being
sold.
Yeah,
there's nothing to do here.
You got a dollar seat up in the third level.
If you've never been to Charlotte, if you've never been to Memphis, you know, as Joe is wearing a Grizzlies hat, Vancouver Grizzlies hat.
Okay.
But if you've never been to Vancouver, you know, at a point, there's stuff to do.
Well, at this point, I think Blazer fans are like, well, at least it's the weather's getting better.
At least it's nice, because now guess what we can go back to doing? Drinking.
Different things and staying inside and
forgetting
and
about
this
the Blazers.
Team.
There's a reason the summers are so cool here is because we don't have to worry about the Blazers playing and losing all the time.
But the fact that we are okay with this, and remember Blazers chair owner, whatever, Jody Allen was saying, hey, we're going to negotiate, bring a WNBA team in, and then all of a sudden those negotiations had a total stop put to them because this arena that the Blazers play in is absolutely, I mean, it's one of the 5 or 6 oldest arenas in the league. It is absolutely in need of some huge updates to bring it to the standard of a Staples Center, or I guess Crypto Arena now, to bring it to the standard of where the Celtics play.
The Clippers are building right now.
Yeah, what the American Airlines Arena, where the Dallas Mavericks play. Like, there is just so much that Blazers fans don't seem to mind here, Joe. I hear what you're saying about this mentality. It sucks that they're just okay with mediocrity in sports.
You're
and
the Oakland A's of professional basketball. Dude.
Year after year after year. I hear you. I agree with both you guys, and I don't understand why. I guess the point that you guys made, especially you, Rashad, that there's nothing else going on here is a great start to that conversation. But I do think there's some kind of deeper, like, I don't know, maybe abuse that we've suffered, like at the hands of our sports fandom in the last 20 or 30 or 40 years in this city. There is something deeper in this that brings us back to this each time. And I'm super interested as to why.
Guys, move on.
No. Neil. Yeah, in fact,
it's your fault.
We'll continue this on the other side because there's some things I still want to bring up about this franchise and this game alone that are just wow.
Oh, just historically big wows,
dude,
bro.
Wow. All right, we'll get to that next, but first, Schultzy, SportsCenter update.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There have been 9 times in NBA history where a team has lost by 60 points or more.
How many times happened to Blazers?
I think a total of 3 times, but 2 of them have happened in this season alone. And that is the first time ever in NBA history that a team has lost by 60 points twice in one season. It happened earlier this year against the Oklahoma City Thunder and now against the Miami Heat. And I don't know if it's going to happen. We'll find out, obviously, after the season, but Chauncey Billups cannot be coach of this team next year. You just can't.
I think two of those on your resume in the same year.
One of them is bad enough.
One of them is bad. You let a team hang, two teams hang 60 on you within like 3 months of each other.
Embarrassing.
Like, I can understand, like, it's the beginning of the year. Especially when the Blazers was dealing with all the injuries and everything. Like, cool. That shouldn't happen at this point in the season.
We suck again.
We suck again, you know, and I honestly think we've blamed the players a lot. And granted, they're the ones on the floor. They're the ones that have to carry out the plan and everything. We've been calling out, you know, the way Scoot's played all year, right? We've called out the way Simons has been chucking, you know, maybe a little more than usual since Dame has been gone all year when he's in the game. The fact that people can't stay healthy, that the looks like all of a sudden DeAndre Ayton figured out how to play basketball. It only took him like 5 years, you know, but finally I'm glad he plays in a Blazer uniform when he figured out exactly what he could be, right? I think that's the only silver lining in this entire season that we've had, is the fact that DeAndre Ayton halfway through the season figured out what a beast he could be, and okay, carry that. I think your offense goes through him now. All of a sudden, you change everything that you've been doing. You let one of the bigger guys in the league cook.
But again,
that's the silver lining there.
Yeah,
right?
But that's like, okay, cool. So again, we should have been doing this all year, we might have won 25
games.
It's
not even that. It's that you saw this dude who was the number one pick finally get it. Okay, like I said, that's the only part of the year that I think as a Blazer fan, I feel like you can look at and be like, okay, I think we got something there. That part we're safe on. As long as he decides he don't want to go no place, that part we're safe on. But defensively, which is why you bought Chauncey in initially, you're one of the worst teams in the league. Offensively, you're one of the worst teams in the league. You don't have a go-to play or anything that you run. It's a bunch of chucking at this point. And at this point, man, I think Chauncey is the guy that needs to go. You know, I think you've got talent, and you have no choice but to amass a bunch of talent over the next little bit, unless you can figure out a way to turn that, you know, all these picks and stuff into a solid NBA player that could, you know, accompany Simons and Ayton and the rest of these boys out there. If you can do that, great. We've seen it happen before, not here, but we've seen it happen before. But at this point, man, big changes need to be made, and I think it starts with Chauncey. I'm honestly, after you lose by 60, I'm surprised he wasn't fired that day.
Tarmac game?
Seriously, as you get towards the end of the season, it's home stretch. You know, you've got, what, 9 games left? Less than that? How many games left do the Blazers have in the season?
They are currently 53.
It's such an awesome.
I think this franchise.
Wow, no, yeah. I was clicking wrong. Sorry, 19-55.
Okay.
I think this franchise is so high on themselves that they are unable to actually examine themselves with that much clarity and say, okay, this is what needs to happen. So no, I don't think the Blazers would ever. I mean, when's the last time they fired a coach mid-season? Mo Cheeks, and then Kevin Pritchard took over, I believe, he became a general manager.
Cheeks didn't deserve it. The Blazers were trash at that point. And so that was like, man, you know what? We're going to let you stay here and figure out your own way.
Chauncey Billups as a head coach, 79-159.
That's not good.
And two of those seasons are with Damian Lillard on his roster.
Correct, Rashad. That is not good.
Like, seriously, like, if this were if we were talking professional football and the head coach was 17-76, you'd be like, bro, it's time to let you go. It's time to move on. And for whatever reason, we've hung on to Chauncey. Again, you lose by 60 twice in the same calendar year. I'm sorry. Like, as soon as we get to the Milwaukee fired a coach, and they were the second best team in the East at that time. Let him go. You know what? We're good. We got to figure something else out. That's a team that's going for a championship today. You're talking about a franchise that looks clearly lost. You lose by 60, bro. They're in Miami, right? Or were they home?
That was in Miami.
Yeah, that was Miami Super Bowl.
You stay here for a little bit.
Well,
Chauncey.
No, it wasn't, because I mean they're going to be going to the playoffs and still have very much a chance of doing what always do and going to the NBA Finals.
Who is?
Miami Heat?
Oh no, I'm talking about. I'm talking about.
Well, I was just
saying
about the Super Bowl comment.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, at least for they sure. have a chance at the Super Bowl and the NBA Finals. Like, that's what they do. Is they turn it up in the playoff time. Like, they're what, 40-32 right now.
Man, you know what? Chauncey, you go ahead and stay here. We'll pay for your flight, you know, to wherever you want to go. You stay here for a couple days. We'll put you up in a nice room, you know. But I think your time as the Blazers coach has come to an end here.
So I also want to ask you guys, because I feel like, again, just the accountability for this franchise to be a championship contender and actually want to try and be that top team in the West in the NBA. When's the last? Do you remember the last time the Blazers were a 3 seed or higher?
It was a few years ago. I want to say 2018, 2017.
No, I'm going to venture a guess that it had to be the early 2000s when the Blazers were just missing the NBA Finals.
Well, Rashad, you are right. It was the 2017-2018 season. They did finish as the number
Dame
3 seed,
first team All NBA that year.
Do you want to remember what happened in the playoffs that year?
Jordan, I think they lost
a 4-0 exit first round.
4-0 exit sweep to the New Orleans
to
Pelicans.
Pelicans. I went to game one. I went to game one.
And you're like, oh boy.
No, seriously. It was one of me and my ladies' first outings together. You know what I'm saying? Was to that Blazer game. Had some good seats and just proceeded to get just smacked. And that was that.
And then before that.
I was going to say that was the series that they just double-teamed Damian Lillard and made the Blazers beat them in any other way.
It was the Drew Holiday series is what that was.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, the last time that they had a 3 seed or higher was the 99-2000 season. So we are 25 years of having two seasons where you are a 3 seed or higher, and one of those seasons you got swept by the lower seed, a 6-seed New Orleans Pelicans.
Guys, Rip City, baby. This team, we have so much to root for here in Portland, guys. This team just always shows up for us. We've got to be strong as fans for this team that is the heartbeat of our city. Why?
Again, I just... Until I see sustained success of being a top team, a top contender in just the Western Conference of back-to-back seasons of a 3-seed or higher, like, I'm just done.
Well, Clyde did it.
Well, best Clyde also ever. Had a better team around him.
Clyde had Kevin Duckworth, Terry Porter, Jerome Kersey, Cliff Robinson. Do you want me to keep going?
Let's not act like there wasn't some great teams that played here with, you know, Leah.
Oh,
we had some dudes.
They
not
had the Al Farouk Aminu effect.
That's not who I'm talking about.
Okay, good.
That's not who we're talking about.
Well, Blazers, they suck. We knew they were going to suck. Did we think it was going to be this bad where you're losing by 60 points twice in one season? No. I mean, I'll say that if you told me that before the season, I'd be like, okay, come on. It can't be that bad. Well, it is that bad. But there is one basketball team in the state of Oregon that is playing good basketball, and they're going to play here in about 15 minutes. We get to that next here, 1080 The Fan, Sports Sunday. All right, let's switch up the vibes here a little bit on the show to something a little bit more positive. Your Rashad Lady Beavs.
I wouldn't say they're mine, but yeah, they're our.
they're our Lady Beavs. Well, I'm not going to claim them either, but the Lady Beavs, man. Elite Eight, they beat Notre Dame the other day, which I'm going to guess they were dogs going into that game. But they beat Notre Dame despite turning the ball over 60 times, it seemed like. I don't know what it was, but I think the turnover difference in that game was literally like 25-5 or something insane. But the Lady Beavs, they got it done on Friday. Take out Notre Dame in a solid little game. And their prize is to play literally the best team in college basketball in Dawn Staley in South Carolina. And Jordan said it during the break, 15.5-point dogs, the Lady Beavs are. So good luck. The one good thing about South Carolina is they damn near choked the game against Indiana the other day on Friday. The one bad thing for the Beavs about South Carolina is that they damn near choked that game against Indiana. So now they're going to be like, okay, let's not do that again. Let's not play with our food and let's take care of business. So the Lady Beavs, who are about to tip off here in 11 minutes over on ABC? Question mark?
ABC. ABC is,
I mean,
correct.
Hey, on Easter, ABC, 10 a.m., that's primetime television.
Absolutely. That's really cool.
Good for them. Good for the Lady Beavs. And goes to the sentiment also again that it's like, of course, last year Pac-12, you know, last year that did, like, all these teams are together in the Oregon State Beavers. Now USC, they do play tomorrow against UConn, and that's here in Portland, actually. Mm-hmm. We do have two games here at the Moda Center, but Lady Beavs, they could be the last bastion of hope for the Pac-12 in the women's college bracket. That would be insane if they won today and went to the Final Four.
That would
beating
be great.
South Carolina.
That would be great. Go,
damn.
Lady Beavs. Like, I mean, I think you got a lot of people pulling for you. And then you're going to have extra people pulling for you that have never seen the Beavs play at all just because they're taking on Goliath. Being real, they're taking on the – how many games in a row have South Carolina won? Like 74?
Oh, I don't know about in a row. I mean, they're undefeated this year.
No, I mean, even from last year. They were undefeated last year. So
I was gonna, I'll take your word on it.
Yeah, they're
35-0
on the season. Amen. South Carolina has been doing what South Carolina, they look like what UConn's women's team used to look like, you know, in the early to mid 2000s. Just completely unstoppable. Camila Cardoza is nice. Like, if you haven't seen her play, like I said, I've been way more enthralled with the women's tournament this year, and I've spoke about this before, just because I feel like there are stars across the board. Like, tomorrow we're gonna get Juju Watkins and Paige Becker in a matchup. Tomorrow we're gonna get Caitlin Clark and the Bayou Barbie, you know what I'm saying, are playing against each other again tomorrow. You
and
know?
Your girl Kim Mulkey,
Kim Mularkey, who is so, so frustrated about that article that came out, you know. And this is the one that I think we spoke about saying she had some years to
a couple of years leading up to the
and now she's so caught off guard.
We'll get to that in the next
but
hour,
either way, this isn't about her. I think this is about the ladies that are playing. So Oregon State, listen, you got the entire state of Oregon behind you. Even the Ducks are rooting for you right now. But also, yeah, you are. Let's not do that.
Hey, actually, even more of a local angle is that the Lady Gamecocks, they have a former Oregon player on their team, Tahina Pow-Pow.
Started at Oregon. Started at Oregon.
Yeah, so, I mean.
She left old Kelly Graves there. Yeah.
If there is, you know, some rooting interest for one Joe Fisher over here, I think leaning towards South Carolina. Also, I like me some Dawn Staley from her Charlotte Sting days.
Oh, man. Dawn Staley was
who can forget the Charlotte Sting?
There's this girl at my...
well, I think the city of Charlotte, because I don't even think that's a team anymore.
There was a girl at my high school that had a Dawn Staley Team USA jersey that I always thought was so dope. You know, so Dawn Staley's always been cool. She was a cool player, and she is an amazing head coach. She's in my... I'm trying to think of them. She's one of the few people that were amazing players and then became amazing coaches. I think Becky Hammon is also kind of one of those. But even if you look across the NBA, how many great players became great coaches? I can think of two off the top of my head.
Like the NBA. That came. Yeah. Well, Chauncey Billups won.
Okay. I'll give you that.
The jury's still out, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Needs more time.
I can think of two, and that's the great Lenny Wilkins and Larry Bird. And outside of that, like, I can't think of another great coach. So for Dawn Staley to take everything that she's learned, and even Becky Hammon.
Steve Kerr.
A great player. Like, I mean, like, all-star, you're the top of the game. Saying, yeah. You are.
Not
you
just are, NBA player.
Yeah, you are.
Great
Isaiah
NBA
Thomas
player.
was an okay head coach, you know, for a little bit. No, he was a good head coach for the Knicks. He was good. And for Indiana, he got, you know, that Pacers team, that Malice in the Palace team, that was Isaiah, I think. Or he was the general. Well, yeah.
Dude, Isaiah sucked as the
coach. I think
coach
Joe Dumars was the GM at that point.
Okay. Okay. But yeah,
Isaiah
was
in
okay
New York
head coach
early
on.
I don't think it went well for
Isaiah. At the end it didn't, but Isaiah was okay as a head coach. But again, the list is short. Magic, terrible as a head coach. Jordan has been awful leading anything that wasn't on the basketball court. So I love that Dawn Staley has really built her reputation as just like juggernaut of a coach.
You know, I am excited because the especially after all the turnovers, you kind of go to the blueprint for any lesser team in college basketball beating a blue blood like South Carolina. And that essentially is, I mean, a good team always usually plays fast and makes a lot of shots. So what do you do if you're the lesser team? If you can slow the game down and you can hit a lot of threes, well, that's a recipe for Oregon State to win today. So, yeah, just don't turn the damn ball over as much because it's going to happen. As Will Ortner puts it, it's chaos in college basketball. I don't like it. Some people do. But Oregon State does have a blueprint to win today. Simply hit a lot of threes, slow the game down, and then force South Carolina out of their normal game as much as you can. And they'll probably have a shot to win at the end, but that's if they hit their
shots. Well, it'll be a home. I mean, well, they're in Albany. Right now, right?
Yeah. Albany, New York. Yeah,
yeah, they're in Albany.
Not Oregon, for people wondering. There's no Portland, Oregon, and Albany, Oregon, NCAA women's circuit right
now.
No,
it's not. So, I mean, if they were playing here in Portland, this would clearly be a home game for the Beavs. You know, however, I think because South Carolina is on the top of the mountain, you're going to have a lot of additional Oregon State fans just in general. So, we're pulling for you, Lady Beavs. Hopefully, you can go out there and make a Corvallis proud, make the state of Oregon proud. But either way, man, to get to the Elite Eight and to be a game away from the Final Four, like, that's huge.
Well, I don't know how
we kind of poo-poo on the Elite Eight and Sweet 16 these days. Like, it used to be something to make it that far to the Sweet 16 or to the Elite Eight. Now it's kind of like, oh, well, one more game, and I guess, you know, I guess it'll mean something then. But no, like, that's a hell of an accomplishment to make it to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight.
Well, I'm sure that my women's bracket for the Odyssey pool is not going well. Stanford, definitely not making it to the Final Four. I had them in the Final Four. I got Iowa and UConn. But my last Final Four team in the women's bracket, the Lady Beavs. So I have some rooting interest there, but I don't think.
Let's see.
I think that's I think that $20 is long gone. I don't think I stand a chance at this point.
I went all Pac-12 teams in the ladies' Final Four.
Ouch.
I'm playing. Whoa, you were the heart on that.
I'm looking at right now. Jordan Schultz, the only person in the Odyssey pool to take the Beavs. That's actually to win it all.
And you know what? That's actually not a bad play. Just because Stanford was great. USC.
Yeah, USC and Juju was the Watkins top seed. Was great. Come on.
UCLA played a hell of a game yesterday against LSU. So that's actually not a bad play.
It was
put
close.
All four I figured 12 teams in there.
I figured at least half of the, like two of the four would make it. Yeah. But I mean,
at least USC is in. So
yeah. I guess two of the four could still make it.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. I love my Beavs today, but 15.5 point dogs. I think University of Portland to Kansas State in their first NCAA tournament game, the ladies was like a 13.5 point underdog. They got it to within like six in the third or fourth quarter, but that was it.
Yeah.
Oregon State Beavers also a +900 on the money line.
Jeez.
You know, just give it your best shot.
I mean, I'd throw five, but what is that? +900, so it's a $50 payout? Yeah, I'd throw $5 down on that.
Notre Dame game, but I'm telling you, man, like, I want to look it up real quick because I could not believe 26 turnovers to five, and they still won that game.
How many three-pointers did they hit?
The Beavs?
Yeah.
Six.
See, you're not going to win playing that game today. They've got to hit, like, 15 to 20 threes to even have a shot at winning today.
Where did they even win that game? Oh, I guess it was definitely the shooting. I mean, when you shoot 60% and your opponent shoots 35.6%. Also, oh my God, just on the men's side, dude, Arizona was driving me absolutely mad the other day in their game against, who is it that they lost to? Was it Illinois? I'm completely blanking already on who they lost to the other day, Arizona. They just pissed me off watching that game. I think it was maybe Clemson. But what is it? Yeah, they lost to Clemson. Yeah. Dear God, man. Just chucking up threes the entire time. And none of them were going down. Except like one towards the end where it was basically like a last hope. Like we need to try and come back in this. And that one did go down. But dear God, college basketball on Thursday, men's, was especially pissing me off because Arizona, that Clemson-Arizona game was making me mad because Clemson shouldn't be this good. And they were only like, I think after that game, there was like a stat that they were in the lead for like 95% of the three games they played. And I was like, stop, all right? This shouldn't be happening. And then Arizona just, classic Arizona, and of course, Pac-12 basketball, men's basketball, it ends with Arizona just pissing down their leg, yeah. Like in traditional fashion.
I mean, Arizona, if we're being real, last national championship Arizona got was like 95?
I think it was 97?
90, yeah, like the Mike Bibby, Miles Simon team. Like, it was quite a while ago, you know, but I can remember Arizona being close, that Gilbert Arenas team, but Arizona hasn't been great for decades.
Well, they just,
you know, at this point,
it's not so much that, like, they're a good little program, but right, they hold themselves to the standard that they're like a Duke, a North Carolina,
like they
a
were
Kentucky,
90, like they were 95,
and they're not that. They haven't been to a Final Four since the late 90s. Like, get real, all right. Realize who you are at this point.
Yeah, it's a great, like, listen, you get recruited to Arizona, that's an awesome scholarship to have, right? Like, that's,
I think going to college in Arizona in any capacity
and any
awesome.
Seriously, if Arizona State recruits you to be a Sun Devil, like, you're going to enjoy your time, you know what I'm saying, in Tucson. Like, that's just kind of, you know, what that's going to be. But as
Arizona's
a
program, in Tucson,
Tempe,
yeah.
Excuse
yeah,
me, Tempe.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, appreciate you. But yeah, I just don't know if even Pac-12 basketball just in itself right now, it's just, well,
it's dead.
It's dead. But playing
is
those
Utah still playing in the NIT? Hold on a second.
Traditional Pac-12 places, like, yeah, just not. It's just not the same as it used to be. And yeah, Arizona is one of the teams that considers themselves top of the food chain.
Well, I guess Pac-12 basketball isn't dead yet because Utah has a NIT semifinal game on Tuesday.
Hold the phone.
Go Utes, baby. Against Indiana State. All right, let's take a break. We got the rematch to talk about, the Portland games, and some other stuff, other sports stuff. Do that next. Hour number two, Sports Sunday. 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, you want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Boy, I very much enjoyed Rashad and my conversation that we just had in the commercial break.
Yeah, our conversations are always, you know, this is the stuff that should be on air. Actually, it probably shouldn't be on air.
Oh, it should. It should.
Yep, you're right. It probably
just
should.
Just shine like a little bit of light into this is last night. We're getting drinks, me and the lady friend, and then met up with Suk and his lady friend. And he was sharing some stories of some of the strip clubs, purveyors that are not in the city of Portland, in the far outskirts of the Willamette Valley and Oregon coast.
I've always wondered about the Oregon coast strip clubs.
They sound interesting, that's for sure. The Bachelor's Inn in Coos Bay, and then... He used to live in Woodburn, so he went to a place in Gervis called the Last Chance Saloon.
It's Jervis, I believe. It is not Gervis.
Well, get a tetanus shot if you go in there, and probably a hepatitis shot before you go as well. Oh, and I found the Instagram page last night as well. Oh, as he was telling me about
it. How many followers?
Let's see here. I don't know 69. If I want to click on this.
69, that's a good one.
69 followers.
On the work computer. See, that's the thing, too, is I don't want to go to this because we already spent too much time on the Instagram page last night where I was telling them, like, you guys are going to F up my algorithm, and I'm just going to start getting stuff from the Last Chance Saloon showing up on my feed that I didn't exactly ask for. But you can go ahead and hit that follow button for me. That's okay. But, yeah, the reviews. Like, as Suk was talking about this place, reading the reviews, I was like, yeah, this all kind of makes sense now.
I'm sure they have some... pretty good, like maybe some chicken wings or
I mean I would probably stay away from any food at the Last Chance Saloon. yeah, The Bachelor's in Coos Bay. Let me read this one review, because this was like, all right, this guy's definitely gone to been to the Bachelor's in Coos Bay. And he summed it up pretty well with his review. Bachelor's Inn. I love how it says, close. Easter might affect these hours.
Nah, well, there's still going to be some dirty Easter peeps.
Soon as dinner is done. All right, honey. Going to meet the fellas at the Bachelor's Inn.
Going to go look at some bodies.
Coos Bay.
Probably sure some. I don't want to assume.
Top tier.
But probably some really bad bodies.
All right, here we go. Greg McCall. This was his review of the Bachelor's Inn. 13 plus upvotes on it too, so people agree. The BI is definitely the worst and most sleazy strip club I have ever been to. That being said, it's one of those places that you go to if you and your friends feel like getting crazy. 4 stars because I've never had an uneventful time there. But hey, it's a strip club in Coos Bay. What did you expect?
I think I know what that means. I'm reading between the lines there, and okay.
Sasha is fantastic. That's another review. Sasha throwing
come in
it down.
I'm looking for Sasha. Can I get a dance from her?
It's like the Sasha that worked here 6 months ago or the new girl that calls herself Sasha?
Mike on the review. I'm not into tweaker nasty women. We'll rather head to Eugene.
To get some other
tweaker?
Yeah. Tweakers.
Allegedly.
I remember going to
you'll probably run into some college, some co-eds, you know, also in, I can imagine, in the Eugene strip club.
I remember going to a strip club in Eugene for my birthday one time, and my buddy, I left, went outside because it was near close, and then he came out another, like, 20 to 30 minutes after me, and I was like, dude, what the hell was going on in there? Hoping to hear something like, oh, dude, it is awesome. Oh, no, they were trying to swindle him for every dollar that, you didn't pay me. No, you didn't. And then the bouncer came out, and so then they had to be walked over to the ATM to get more money out because they basically gaslit him into thinking that he never paid.
I gotta ask, man, who's paying for private dances?
I am.
Are you really?
I was literally about to chime in.
I think that's kind of what you have to do before you get the private dancer shot.
You have to pay. I'm saying, who's paying for a private? Like, are you going to the strip club? And he's like, oh, yeah. Sapphire, I want you to come back there and
Mercedes from the main stage. I want you to come back to the private room.
I don't want you to, you know, especially if we're talking in Coos Bay. I don't want to have a lap dance to Sweet Home Alabama.
Now to the stage, Chrysanthemum.
Yeah, I don't want you to strip on me to anything Black Eyed Peas.
No,
thank you.
No, I mean, if you're paying that much money, I would hope you get a choice on the song, right?
Let's get it started.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, no, she's my cherry pie. That's just going to kill everything for me.
I don't want that.
Sweet Santa Woman?
I could do Sweet Santa Woman. Give me some Journey, too. Listen, but I am the guy. I have paid for private dances. I don't mind admitting so here on the air, and am I degenerate? Absolutely.
Sacrilege to be talking about this on Easter Sunday. How dare we?
You know what?
It really is.
Who brought this up? Who started talking about this?
I think you did.
You did.
Yeah.
Oops.
I think it was you.
This was a conversation that spilled over from Friday night.
Well, it's much better than where the conversation could have gone initially, you know, because we talked about this. It was a segue to strip clubs from pretty adult video stores.
Well, it did remind me that, you know, and I was telling the lady friend this, is like, I just, you know, it's been a while since I've been to a strip club, and I think that it's something that needs to happen soon. Just because I don't go for, you know, like, ooh, yeah.
I go for the steak bites. Shout out to A-Crop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't love the steak bites from A-Crop? But I definitely don't go to see some strange. I go to see some, like, strange, like some S happen, like something like, oh, boy, I am entertained from the either people watching or situations that are happening in this building right now. That's why I go.
I think Jordan would enjoy an Atlanta strip club.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would as much, Joe.
Oh, I think I would.
Okay.
I mean, if I know they're not going to swindle me, like if we're going to pay, we're going to make the deal, and then you're not going to, like, come back at me afterwards, yes, I think I would enjoy it.
No, yeah, you definitely enjoy. And I've talked about them here quite often. Hey, man, like the experience, the food, it's the club. Like there are very few like clubs that people go to, like dance clubs. So the strip club is that's the club.
That's where
you go to do stuff at.
I can't do food at the strip club.
I guarantee you could. If you looked up their menu right now,
nope.
Magic City in Atlanta, nope. You look that up, man. all of a sudden you'll
be
like,
Lemon Pepper Lou, right?
Lemon Pepper Lou.
Yeah.
He was willing to get in trouble in the bubble because
risked his life.
I want those wings, man.
Like, he risked his life and his peers' life for some wings.
Get a 12-ounce steak and a lobster for...
I'm sure it was just for the wings.
I'm telling you, man, it's, again, the people watching and everything, that's cool, but it's the club. It's not like the way we would see... I don't know. What's the club here in Portland? Do we have clubs anymore?
Yeah, we have clubs. Where? I mean, down in like 5th, 6th, and Burnside.
Yeah, we have a bunch of bars, you know.
Yeah, but that's fair.
I'm trying to figure out like what's the club that they have here. It's basically that. The strip clubs there is that club just with boobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm down.
I know that also, what is that? I know some states where it's like it's only up tops.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Give me the full body.
I don't like that.
I hate that.
Yeah, not a fan.
No, I am a total degenerate. I go for the strange.
I want to see some Arby's roast beef sandwiches in here.
That's not where I'm getting at. No, but it's not like I go. I think we all go to strip clubs to see like these strange activities. But no, I'm going for the strange. Come on.
That clack of the heels that you hear.
Oh, yeah, like 5-inch heels.
That thunderous sound.
That clap of the, well.
I know.
You've got to, yeah, you've got to go. It's different.
And here's Vancouver text line chiming in. I lived in Woodburn, and I've been there. First time I walked in on a stripper and truck driver doing, he spelled cook in the restroom, but I'm going to assume that he meant to say coke.
We get what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I know. I know autocorrect what it did for you. That sounds like, that definitely sounds like the Last Chance Saloon down there. A buddy of mine, this is another text, a buddy of mine used to spend Thanksgiving dinner at strip club buffets.
Those are real things.
Bold move.
And some of them, again, not all the food everywhere is great.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off.
But some of it is absolutely, and I'm telling you, Jordan, look up that menu. You'll be like, I think I want this. I think I want it.
We got to finish some things up first, then maybe we can have a meal. No, I can't do a strip club and food at the same time.
I guarantee you could. After you saw my food come out, you were like, can I see a menu? Yeah, guaranteed.
All right.
I think I need some Bachelor's Inn or some Last Chance Saloon merch, a sweatshirt or something like that, or a hat.
We should see if we can get one of their dancers on.
No.
No.
Yeah, let's talk.
What led
you here?
Let's not.
How did we get here?
Well, the place is called the Last Chance Saloon, so you would imagine that didn't really have a whole lot of options.
Before
going to this one.
Did not miss a chance to blow.
There's like 4 different stories, and that's it. There's no real need to figure that out.
All right, I'm going to take a break and continue to read reviews on Bachelor's Inn and Coos Bay. But there is a big matchup happening, tomorrow? Today? Question mark? I think it's tomorrow. The ladies in the ladies bracket.
2 of them.
That we need to get to. Yeah, we need to get to this Washington Post article also as well. Because your girl, Kim Mulkey.
Why is it my girl?
you say all the time, you love her fire. You love her attitude. You love, she's a winner, right? And that's all that matters. You can treat people however you want. Yeah, all the time, dude. All the time you're talking about her.
Stop drinking.
All right, take a break. Get back to it next year. 10 of the Fan, Sports Sunday. Now I'm trying to find a list of the worst strip clubs in Oregon.
I'm sure we can get that from the text line.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Oh, Vancouver 4 text line. This is where you shine, okay? All texts of the fan are via the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6FAN, 6326. The worst strip club you have ever been to in the state of Oregon.
I mean, all of my Oregon ones experiences have been really good. I went to a bad one in Boise. Like, I can't remember the name of it, but it was just terrible. It sucked. The girls sucked. The vibes sucked.
The now defunct Casa Diablo 2, that was a night. That was an experience.
I bet.
The Kit Kat Club, which is over by...
Casa Diablo closed?
No, Casa Diablo 2.
Okay, yeah.
From Dusk Till Dawn is closed. But, yeah, they opened up right across from Acropolis, and that was just, you know, good luck.
Oh, Casa Diablo is awesome. That's probably my favorite location in Portland, strip club-wise.
Yeah, it's different.
Oh, they do some things.
Oh, I've heard. I have heard many, many stories of there.
Actually, for my...
But that's a classy establishment. Okay?
It was classy. It was for my... Technically, it was kind of late, but it was for my bachelor party celebration. They brought me up on stage, and the things that they did were awesome.
Oh, dude.
Let's just put it that way.
My 19th birthday, we went to a place, the Golden Dragon, in downtown near like the food trucks, and they found out it was my birthday, and you know, they brought me up there, and I thought they were gonna, you know, be nice to me. They weren't. They took my belt and they turned my ass to raw beef. Just like the first couple,
and he liked it. You should see the joy on his face right now, as Joe is saying.
No, you can look on the YouTube stream. It was not joyful at all.
I think you enjoyed it.
Because it was 19 whacks with that belt, and I feel like by the time we got to 12 or 13, like I was blacking out from the pain. Like and then after that, they sat me back down to try and be like, all right, let's finish on a good note. And at that point, I'm like, dude, no.
No, I'll stand.
I'm good. You guys, you just have made me mad now. Like, this was supposed to be a good time, and now I can't sit for a week because of what you've done to me. But it was a good time. Shout out to Golden Dragon.
See, told you liked it.
I might have to pull that. Can't sit for a week because of what you've done to me. Joe Fisher on Sunday at 10:21.
That's up to you. As the producer, make your choice whether you want to pull a drop for that or not. Okay?
No, I'm not a big strip club guy. That's should be noted. Like, I would rather not go to a strip club if we don't have to. Like, let's do literally anything else. Let's go get cigars. Let's
for
go
the love
do
of God,
like,
anything else.
Like, let's do anything else but be at a strip club. But I remember on my 18th birthday, I went to Jiggles.
R.I.P.
The 18 plus establishment.
Oh man!
As my grandpa described it when I was a young chap, when I asked him what that is, he said a juice bar.
He wasn't wrong.
Good for him.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong.
Two juice.
I mean, he probably buried the lead, but you know, they definitely had juice.
So my birthday, I remember
on and off the stage.
There was a dancer named Matches.
Matches?
Yeah, no. And she would
literally... She'll light your fire, fellas.
No, she lit her own fire, so she would literally put matches in her uptops and light them on fire as she was doing my birthday dance. And for whatever reason,
Happy
those matches didn't
birthday,
go out.
Birthday!
Yeah.
Mr. Taylor.
So all the dancers came out, and Digital Underground's Freaks of the Industry was playing, and I remember that vividly, and I think that was the first time I was like,
still wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat.
Yeah, I think that was the first time I was like, yeah, I don't know if I like strip clubs like this. Number one, every stripper is incredibly, when they're on the clock, they're fake. Hey, baby, how are you? God.
Yeah,
good. What are you guys up to tonight?
Like, stop.
Good. Do you want to dance, dude? Yeah.
No.
And I gotta be all like, no, I'm sorry, I'm okay.
Yeah, I try to play the game without playing the game. I'm no expert at this. It's not like I got secret tips or anything, but it is just annoying. It is nice when you can actually have a little bit of normal rapport, like a feeling of like, okay, I'm not totally... I'm talking to somebody that is talking to me, not just a robot. The hey, baby. Yeah, that crap.
Hey,
I asked
sweetheart.
For financial advice.
How are
like,
you?
Is there any stocks or maybe some sort of ETFs that you have been interested in lately?
What kind of crypto are you in?
That I mean, I guarantee there's one there. There's always one that's working her way through college. She's probably trying to do something in finance. So you could probably ask that question.
There's one trying to be a dentist.
What are your feelings on Israel and Palestine?
I don't try to get into politics too much.
Try and get real with her.
Yeah, no. But there are some people, those
Let's
weirdos
talk
about
the border.
There are those weirdos that do want to go to strip club, and I just want to talk. I just want to, you know, my wife doesn't listen to me. I just want to talk about stuff, and that's what they do. They pay for the dance, but they really just sit there to talk to cinnamon.
That is really sad.
Awesome. It is, right? That's kind of. I mean, and if we're talking about you, you're listening right now. We're not actually talking about you, but
no, I feel bad. No, I'm saying sad. I'm not trying to make fun of you. Like, I feel bad. I used to like if I ever saw somebody in like a crappy situation, or I were in a strip club and saw a gentleman like that, I used to laugh at them. But like post 30. I may have developed a tad bit more empathy for the world because I realize we're all kind of in crappy situations a lot of this life. We all got sold a bill of goods. We're all not stars like our
my life's awesome.
Yeah, you know, like our posters in our classrooms told us. But,
absolutely nothing wrong with my life.
But I do feel a little bit more sympathy. That guy's lonely. That guy's extremely lonely. And
strip
if he feels
club
like
probably
he
isn't
has
the place to be then.
Well, if he but he doesn't know where else to go, and he knows that he can get some kind of company, albeit for some cash, but at least he's talking to somebody.
A little bit of this.
Not a little bit of that. I don't think that is legal. Yeah, I don't think you can pay for cash and get that in return.
how about this segue? Beavs only down by 4 in the first quarter as the time runs down.
That is a pro segue.
South Carolina 18-14 lead, 6 seconds left. Who we want to win in this game tomorrow? Caitlin Clark or LSU?
Caitlin Clark.
I want to go LSU. Kim Mulkey, just burn it down on the way to another championship. Y'all doubted me. Y'all doubted me. Washington Post, LA Times, my family.
Yeah, it sucks that Mulkey is the coach of LSU, but I kind of
sucks
want
that
LSU.
Kim Mulkey is just, known at all.
Yeah.
Sounds like, I mean we kind of already know she's a raging bitch, but yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think I'm pulling for LSU though. Yeah, I know. I'm not a big fan of Mulkey. If she weren't the coach, awesome, but I like the girls from LSU, if I'm being honest.
Personalities aside and all that, there is something about a redemption aspect that I think I would like seeing Iowa and Caitlin Clark win because of them falling short last year. That is the one aspect about this game that I would be leaning towards Iowa. And also, just like the way that the story's going for Caitlin Clark in Iowa, like she's setting all the records. She's going to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft or the Big Three.
Big Three.
Yeah.
I remember that whole experience last year much differently, we're not going to go too far into this, but there is a standard, I understand. I'm all about redemption and everything, but I remember how they made Angel Reese and that team feel last year after the John Cena "you can't see me" thing to the Iowa
pointing
team.
To the ring.
I remember how they how they drug that young lady and everything like that. And so I'm gonna keep that in mind. But I am pulling for LSU. But Caitlin Clark has been so much fun to watch, and the smart money is that they want to put her in the national championship game.
Well, they've been trying their best, especially against West Virginia.
Name another player from that Iowa team.
Oh,
exactly. Caitlin Clark is the star.
You know her. Don't try and play games with me.
Number two.
You know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Keep filibustering while I pull up their roster real quick.
Yeah. I don't think I can name another player from the Iowa team. I know Caitlin Clark and them. That's what they are.
Just a second.
She's Marky Mark, and they're the Funky Bunch.
Come on. Ava Jones? Molly Davis?
Oh, I forgot about Molly.
Yeah, come on. Kate Martin?
No.
Taylor McCabe?
No, sorry. So it's, again, Caitlin Clark is Beyonce, and then the other members of Destiny's Child. That's what it is.
Caitlin Clark. I didn't even know she's from Des Moines, actually. Birthplace, West Des Moines, Iowa.
So I just think based on just the team that LSU has, the depth that they have, probably just a little too much for Caitlin Clark is going to go off for 40, but I don't know if anybody else is.
So. Jordan, you got a rooting interest in this one?
I mean, I hope to see Caitlin Clark get that cherry on top. I feel like she's done everything else in college basketball. To see a women's star basically do everything in the women's college game, I think would be great for it. It would help raise the profile. And I would rather see Caitlin Clark holding that trophy up as opposed to Kim Mulkey's LSU Tigers. Can't stand the woman. Can't get behind anything she does. I love Angel Reese. I love Haley Van Lith. They got great players at LSU. But man or woman, I mean, I always rooted against Bill Belichick because he was a total ass.
Because you're a hater.
Yeah, well, I am a hater. So yeah. I'm a Kim Mulkey hater in this instance as well. So don't come back and accuse me of being sexist. You just think she's a bitch, so you're just being a sexist jerk. No, thought Bill Belichick was a bitch too. And no, I don't want to see Kim Mulkey win. I want to see Caitlin Clark and Iowa win.
All right, let's talk, because that Washington Post article came out, the one that she was freaking out about.
Mm-hmm.
It did come out, and I gave it a read. But also want to preview the Portland matchups, because we got one today starting about in an hour and a half, and then we got one tomorrow as well. So we'll do that. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Sound like a plan?
Let's do it.
All right. Jordan Schultz, Sports Center Update.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Arr. Who was that?
That's Kim Mulkey. I'm just kidding.
Thanks a lot, Jesse. Appreciate that. What's lighting? What's lighting behind you?
I don't know.
Something's tweaking out.
Oh, my God. Is everything okay? What's happening in the studio here?
We're turning it into a strip club. I started the strobes going.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's all me, baby. I'm just kidding.
I don't know. We have some sort of remote in here. Yeah, dim the lights, Rashad.
I got you. Sold.
Can we get Mercedes? Some, can we get up. Some Black Eyed Peas playing now, please?
Mercedes coming up to the satellite stage.
Yeah, they're usually what is it? The dancers are usually like a some sort of stone or gem, some sort of rock with their name, or some sort of spice
or a drink.
You know, cinnamon, sage,
yeah,
turmeric. Come to the stage. Herbs de Provence. Can you come to the stage, please?
Herbs de Provence, I think. No, I don't know.
It's always that or, you know, something they just... I had this stripper, albeit white stripper, walk up to me
what
and say,
what just happened to this show on Easter
my name
Sunday?
Is Alizé. And I said, no, it's not. Like, I get it, but... Uh-oh, what's this?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Alizé to the stage.
That's a good one.
Tuck Alizé. A buck, don't be cheap.
Here's this move right here.
A lot of hair whips.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you support Azalea's trip through college. And we got Mercedes coming up to the satellite stage. Mercedes.
She's got three kids.
You're way too good at that voice.
You see that C-section scar? You know she's going through
neither
it.
Neither do we.
All right.
God. Then Rashad says this.
He gave me the nicest, longest piece of meat.
Mm.
So good.
What is happening in the bathroom?
That was not the bathroom.
What is happening?
That was pastrami.
Which
that
strip
we
clubs are you going
about.
To? Yeah, and well, you'll see some pastrami at some of the clubs you go to, I'm sure. Yeah.
No, thank you.
How do we segue out of that? I don't even know how we do that.
From strip club buffets.
Women's
into...
basketball. Like, yeah, that doesn't seem right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, how about Kim Mulkey?
I guess that's easier.
That article that came out.
The one that she didn't want any part of for multiple years.
Yeah, I read it. Her reaction. Was not like it was an overreaction to what that article was. It basically was just like, yeah, she doesn't like her dad, doesn't talk to him, hasn't talked to him in like 40 years, doesn't like that her players are gay, which we already knew that. Like, basically, however, the majority of the fan base looks and feels, so like at Baylor, white Christian people, like, you should probably be more like that. Like, why is your hair so colorful? Why do you dress like a dude? Like, anything like that, Kim Mulkey was not down for. And, yeah, she basically, as we said earlier in the show, is just, she's a raging bitch. Like, she just, anybody that does her wrong, there is no reconciliation. She, players, former coaches, former ADs, anybody that has ever wronged her in her life, like, they have... There's been multiple people that have tried to, you know, make matters like better between them, whether it was her fault or their fault, and she just does not give them the time of day. But as far as her reaction, like, you would have thought that there was just something like scathing in there that was just like, oh man, this article's going to take her down. It basically just reinforced everything we already knew about her and that she's a lot to deal with.
Which, I mean, if you had years to write this piece, this would have been must read. I want to make sure everybody knows every deep, dark secret about you. Like, I think that's what a lot of us were expecting.
I think I saw a comment that was like, the most surprising part of this article is the fact that they took 2 years to write this. Like, it's not like there was anything that came out of it that was like,
this isn't even a, it wasn't even a think piece. Like, oh man, let me maybe leave you with these thoughts about, no. It told us, like you said, Joe, what we already kind of knew.
I'm
not going to go as far as to call her the B word. You know, I'm not going to do that. However,
She's your girl. I get it.
She's not my girl. I don't even like her. Like I said, I feel bad because especially during the time of a team that's trying to repeat as national champions, they're probably going to have to answer. They probably had to answer some questions about your coach and what's going on. And like, if you're, you know, Fallujah Johnson and Angel Reese and the rest of those guys, I just want to play. I'm just trying to hoop and win national. I don't have time to talk about, you know, what they did at Baylor and all this other stuff. Like, she's the coach, my coach now. I guarantee every girl on that team, every woman on the team doesn't love her. I can almost guarantee that. Like, they don't. And we'll probably hear some stories come out as they get older and as they kind of, you know, matriculate into the NBA or playing overseas or whatever the case is. I'm sure you'll hear players that kind of come out about other stuff, about how they were treated and about how Mulkey made them feel. But damn, like, these girls are in the middle of a national championship defense. Like, that's the one part I think, you know, kind of sucks for them. So, like I said, I'm pulling for Reese and for you know, some of those girls that are on that team. Like, it sucks. Your coach is if they were a man, we would call him a D-bag. Like, right? That's essentially, you know, kind of what Mulkey is.
She has
Because Bobby Knight was a jackass.
What was the Indiana coach's
name? I can't
name?
Hate every Indiana Hoosier, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not their fault that their coach did some, you know, some crazy things when they were coaching. Like, they had to kind of play through it, especially as, you know, as college players. So I get it. This is one of those things that the NCAA definitely needs to start paying more attention. They don't care because LSU is making so much money. So let's just be real. They don't really. Let's be honest. Like, if they cared, she would have been fired years ago and not able to coach in Division I basketball or even Division II. If they really care, they don't.
No,
and so she's going to continue to have a job. So that's why I was like, I don't know. This is really much ado about nothing at this point. Now, mind you, I think it's something. It's definitely something. But in the eyes of the NCAA, this is much ado about nothing. Did she hurt someone? Did she sexually assault someone? Was the N-word? And I guarantee Kim Mulkey says it like, you know, seriously. I guarantee it's thrown out there. She says naysayer a lot. Like,
yeah, I wonder what the
time.
Alexa speakers in her home pick up. I wonder.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So her favorite song is Naysayers in Paris. Like, I guarantee it's all over the place, you know, at her spot.
No, I'm sure it's like that song plays in the locker room after when she's like, why do you guys listen to that?
Well, but
turn
like
that off.
Concerning
put on some Brooks and Dunn.
Concerning these allegations, it's almost sad that the Washington Post spent 2 years of resources on this story. I mean, for what we expected. I think even with her focus on it, you expected something like a racist term or two that she uttered in the locker room to come out. But I guess we haven't really heard exactly what she said. We've heard of things that she leans towards or told her players, you know, to dress like. So I am almost wondering, like, well, if this is the only shoe to drop, why did the Washington Post spend, what, two and a half years?
Unless there's
of
a part two to this thing, like they're doing with the Nickelodeon.
No, they waited two, like, and a half years. There is no part two.
So
this
exactly.
Was,
so,
yeah, this was it.
You know, this is, it's again, in the eyes of the NCAA, much ado about nothing, which is why she's still on the sideline coaching, which is why she probably hasn't been asked many questions about the article. And the one few drops that we got from her were, what, a couple days ago?
Yeah, like a week ago. Exactly. And also, like, you know, yes, it took two years to write this, but it's not like homeboy was like taking, like, this was the only thing he was working on.
No,
for
of course.
Years,
he probably had,
you know,
multiple pieces. But again, if you have something.
He had one come out last year about LSU and just like the income disparity between, you know, like coaches like Brian Kelly and people that are just scraping by.
Guess what? Angel Reese is making more than both of them.
Than Brian Kelly?
Probably.
No, I highly doubt that.
What's Brian Kelly making right now?
Like $10 million a year as the head coach of LSU. I guarantee
Angel Reese,
you
Angel
that...
Reese is getting like four.
No, she's not. No, she's not.
She's getting two.
Well, when I do see Juju Watkins in a commercial with Joel Embiid, I'm like,
Yeah, they're getting paid, bro.
Oh, yeah. I just wonder who's getting paid. Are they getting paid the same amount in that commercial? Like, is... I can imagine that...
She's got an agent now, so probably...
Well, I would hope so, but again, when I see Juju Watkins in a commercial and Joel Embiid, I do wonder if there is a even a pay disparity in the commercial. And like what? Like, do they say, like, you're a college
player? Do we think Sabrina gets the same as Steph in those State Farm commercials?
Or Caitlin Clark in, I think she's in a few of those State Farm commercials too. Yeah. Yeah, I think they have her in those. I mean, here she is in a commercial right now for something. I don't know.
Angel Reese's NIL valuation, $1.8 million.
Yeah, NIL. So that's
way more than they used to make. It's more than Reggie Bush got.
I don't think that's more than he got legally.
He got a house.
Board.
He got a house that was like, what, 500, something like that?
Yeah, they should just give him back the Heisman. Let's be honest.
Oh, look at this briefcase that randomly is sitting in my house. I wonder how this got here.
What did Lendale White say?
I think that was an envelope.
I think that was Lendale White.
Yeah, Lendale White, $140,000 on his bed, like once a month.
I just showed up to my
like
apartment
that.
And there was a duffel bag of money.
Jeez.
God.
Must be nice.
What a great time in college.
Go and get your money, little duffel bag boy.
I'm with it.
That's Titty Boy for you
there. That is Titty Boy. That was a great record.
If I were a rapper, I would be Little Duffel Bag Boy. All right, that's a good name.
Not
bad. All right, we'll wrap up the show next. Talk about, I don't know, something. There's something going on in sports. We'll figure it out. See ya. Lady Beavers making a little comeback, 31-27. I think it was like 29-22 at one point. I mean, maybe a little bit more than that, but... South Carolina at the free throw line, 32-27 now with just under 3 minutes left to go in the second quarter.
These feel like the shortest quarters. I know they're only 10-minute quarters, but, man, they feel so short when you look up.
They go quick. However, I do like this style better. I wish that the men would switch to this. I can't stand the 20-minute halves because it feels like there's like 5 to 7 minutes of dead time in each half. It just sucks.
We got two games in Portland. Today at noon, NC State taking on Tejas in the Moda Center for the women's bracket. And then tomorrow we get a pretty big matchup as far as names go, not just schools, but players. UConn, Paige Buchers, and USC, Juju Watson, going up against each other in the Elite Eight matchup there. So that's pretty cool.
No, it's star power. You know, when we're talking about women's college basketball, especially this year.
When's the Final Four happening here?
Next week, right? Next
no,
Monday?
I mean in Portland. I mean,
oh, that's a good question.
Was that like 2029? No, they've already agreed to it.
Yeah. I can't.
Yeah, it's already been locked in. Like later they in the said decade. That they will have a Final Four in Portland. I just cannot remember the year when they said that it is happening.
No, I mean. I don't know. Yeah, it's hopefully all these schools are still legit, you know, by then. Obviously, we think here UConn, you know, will still be a player at that point. LSU.
2030.
There we go.
That's far. I mean, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's how time works, Rashad.
Joey will be what?
Oh, dude.
15?
He'll be 17.
17, yeah.
Dear God.
Yeah, my son will be 18 by the time, you know, they get here for that. It's like, yeah, cool, you know, wait another 4 years. But, no, I mean, this women's Elite Eight, like, it's star power, you know, and it's also more than star power. There are amazing teams attached to some of these stars. Obviously, Camila Cardoso with South Carolina, and then Juju Watkins with USC.
There's some blonde on South Carolina that I really like.
Yeah.
Really probably. Like.
Probably. Yeah. More than likely. And these aren't the women's hoopers that we were used to growing up. Some of, you know, a lot of women's basketball players that I remember kind of looked like
Scott Pollard.
Ian Ziering.
Scott.
You know, kind of look like, you know, your PE teacher. You know, stuff like that.
It's a different time, different hairstyles.
Some
back
of
then,
these,
okay?
Some of the, yeah, exactly. But some of these, you know, ladies are beauty queens. You know, which is really, I'll be real. It definitely hasn't hurt the product. You know, it's
no,
really,
it's yeah, you're right. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing to say. But
it really
it has
is.
Not
it's,
hurt the product.
I mean, it's, yeah, it is. But you're right. You know, I'm also glad that it shows that women's basketball, women's sports doesn't have to look like one thing anymore. Right? It doesn't have to. You don't have to be just this. You know, this jock that only wears sports stuff and that can't, you know, embrace like a, you know, their beautiful side if they want to do that. Like, well, that's awesome that they're able to do that now and still be respected as ball players.
Can I add to that too? I really think, Rashad, it goes down to like elementary school age girls are now getting the opportunity to do these things. Yeah, and they just, they awesome. Weren't as kids. Joe, I was driving, I think it was like 22nd and Stark in Southeast Portland yesterday, guys. And what did I see? A basketball court. Four girls, like 12 to 13 to 14, were out there playing against each other. Usually I only see dudes doing that. I thought it was so cool to see that.
And it used to be like, if you were a young lady, you almost had to choose, right? Do I want to be feminine or do I want to be athletic? You know, because when, at least when I was growing up, it was one of the two. Like, you typically weren't both in a lot of cases. And now we're getting to see that you don't have to fit into this box. You can just go out there, and if you're a tomboy, great. Be the tom, be your tomboy self. If you want to pat your face with all the makeup and everything, it's, man, great. Do that too. I think now there's space, you know, for all these ladies. And you see that all of them are getting their NIL deals, you know, whether they're the girly girl or the, you know, the more laid back sweats and, you know, t-shirt type. Like, so I think that's dope that that's happened, especially for LA, even in pro wrestling too. Like, I'm a big wrestling nerd. Joe just asked me about WrestleMania. Like, now the ladies are getting more time. They're more athletic. They're, you know, but also they don't have to look like Luna Vachon anymore. They can be pretty if they want to. And so, yeah, that's super, super dope that we're finally to a point to where
this is the goth women are getting girl. The shines. But, I forget, in wrestling.
Oh, Mommy. Rhea Ripley. Man, love her.
She did the stink face the other day.
Sign me up.
Dude, yeah.
Sign me up.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, sign me up.
Rhea Ripley. We didn't even talk about men's college basketball today. That's
There's
a
no
win.
Need to. There's no need to. It's the women's tournament has been more fun, yeah. You know, in the second round.
Well, and or UConn is probably going to win by 30 in these next two games anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter.
The star power for the ladies makes it much more of a fun conversation. Just seriously, can you guys name the best men's college basketball player this year? I can't.
Joe and I were talking the top five picks this year, all coming from Europe.
Essentially, yeah.
Essentially, for the most part. So.
Lady Beavs just hit a three. And right before halftime, only down by four this last 20 seconds of the second quarter. And we'll see if South Carolina can score. But at this moment in time, 37-33, South Carolina leads. And, yeah, I think we're going to be going into halftime with that score where the Beavers are only down by four. They can just make sure not to turn this ball over. And they're going to try and get a little half-court heave here, which almost goes in. But Oregon State Beavers, the Lady Beavs.
Let's go, Beavs.
Holding their own against South Carolina, covering the spread. There is that. But they're going to try and get a win there. So thank you all for listening today. Have a good Easter. Enjoy your cream eggs.
Cadbury's. And your peeps.
Gross jelly beans.
And your, yeah, your popcorn flavored jelly beans and your peeps, if that you're down for that. Or mimosas, as the text line said on the Vancouver Ford text line. I'm going to enjoy some golf. Rashad, Doran, you enjoy whatever the hell you're going to do today. But thank you all for listening. Catch you next Sunday. Peace.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.